What's going on, guys? This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, and this month they have released a new set of boxers. They got three different styles. More importantly, they're tagless, anti-chafing, cooling, moisture wicking, and most importantly, they have a special jewel pouch for your nuts. So after all the trimming, deodorizing, making them look good, smell good, put these boxers on and you are in style. So check this out. I'm going to send you to the website. These are the three styles they got. These are pretty cool. I like these. These look the most comfortable though. But anyways, use code RBP, get 20% off and free shipping, or go to manscaped.com/RBP and also get the 20% off and free shipping. Check it out today, guys. What's going on, guys? Most of the time when we do live podcasts, we are have them set up for us. So usually I'll get somewhere and there'll be an audio and a tech team there to set up the videos and the lighting and the cameras and all that for us. This was one of the first times, other than the Arnold's where I did it in my hotel room, so it was a little bit easier. But this was one of the first times I had to bring all my gear. So I had to bring my cameras, my lighting, my tripods, all that. And my mics. Now, the microphones, unfortunately, because I just bought them, I don't think I know how to set them up properly. So I'll take the blame for that. And I apologize to anybody for watching. The audio is not great, but I thought there was some good tidbits in this video. So I thought I'd drop it anyway, against my better judgment. So I hope you guys like it. If the audio sucks and you don't want to watch, I totally understand. But I'm putting it up anyway. This is our live podcast from Tennessee. Me, Brent, Ben, Nick, and Brandon had a pretty good discussion about a few different topics. So hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks.
How come I can't sit on your couch? Why do you think you get the whole love seat to yourself?
Because I'm bigger than you.
It's actually correct.
Because it's a love seat.
Okay. What's going on, everybody? We are in Nashville, Tennessee. Franklin, Tennessee?
Correct.
Franklin, Tennessee. And I'm at Carbon Culture with the owner of Carbon Culture, Brent. And he also is the president of Armada, which is the manufacturing facility of Hostile Supplements and many other brands, of course. I'm with former Mr. Olympia. Do we call you former Mr. Olympia or just Mr. Olympia? What do you prefer?
Once an Olympian, always an Olympian.
That's what I'm wondering, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
So we're also with Mr. Olympia. I don't think that's right.
You just say, hey.
Hey, Mr. Olympia.
Hey, Mr. Olympia.
Oh. We're also with a Mr. Olympia, Eric. Brandon Curry. Ben and the future potential Mr. Olympia, Nick Walker. So yeah, so we came in, we got in yesterday, we decided to do some flavor testing, and we decided to catch a few workouts, and just see how everybody's doing. So I want to check in with you guys. Brandon, how's everything going?
It's going.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of rumblings recently about things.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd have a good conversation
straight
today.
Straight in for the kill.
Right in for it. No, we're going to, I just want to let you get you prepared.
That's okay. I only know so much.
No, but we were just over at the new Carbon Culture facility.
Yep.
That's being put up. And how many square?
We're doing a rename.
Oh, it's not Carbon Culture anymore.
Yeah, we're going to kind of have two different styles now. It's kind of more petite, which would be Carbon Culture. And then Carbon Performance is kind of the bigger box gym, which you guys mentioned.
So Carbon Culture then is studio personal training?
More like personal, exclusive, more personal training, more intimate. Carbon Performance is something we didn't think we would do because it was kind of not our business style in the beginning, which is a big box gym.
Yeah.
But the market here in Franklin is right for it.
So are you guys partners at the Franklin, the Carbon Performance?
Yep.
And you own Carbon Culture Studio in Murfreesboro.
Yes.
I got
that right.
How is that running?
It's going pretty good. We're getting more and more traffic, more and more visitors.
How many members do you have? First of all, how many square feet is it still?
This is like right over 8,000 square feet.
So this one in Murfreesboro, like almost identical, 8,000 square feet,
right.
And then the new one's 32.
And how many? The new one's 32,000 square feet. How many members do you have at an 8,000 square foot in yours in Murfreesboro?
Honestly, I don't know exactly the root count right now.
It has to be under a thousand. Like our whole goal with this was to create a good environment for culture.
Sure.
So we'll never go over a thousand. And it's kind of based on square footage, equipment, times. So a thousand is kind of the max.
So you cap it. That's
it. Yeah. So here, we're, like, because of the transition, we're letting things be what we used. We would cap this one now. We'd hit our max. And we started for the right reason. We think the right reason is it wasn't really a gym to make money. Obviously, money will come.
Yeah.
But, like, I wanted to build this gym because there wasn't one in this area that I found good, right? Either overcrowded, not hardcore enough, not enough equipment. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't oversell it, right? The hot gym always becomes too popular.
So are you catering to hardcore or are you catering to athletic hardcore? Because it feels a little... It feels clean in here, right? Like it's so it has hardcore.
You and I have a different definition. I think sometimes of like in what we did is like I love hardcore in the sense of badass equipment, true people, right? That truly makes the culture. What I didn't want is, and people might roast me for this, is like kind of use
Don't say another gym.
Okay, so X gym where you need to get a tetanus shot after you leave there.
I see.
So the idea was to make it hardcore but have the amenities where a little bit nicer, higher standard.
So you didn't want to do like
what we film
cement floors.
Where you film last week?
So me, we just filmed. We were in Houston.
Yeah.
Right.
Dallas.
We were in Dallas. That's right. And we filmed at Metroflex Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And we went in there, and I'm like, we're gonna film content for the site and stuff. And Ben and Justin were just like babies. It's hot in here.
It was.
The equipment's not perfect. I'm like, what the fuck?
Both those things are factual. Hardcore means something different these days,
Right
there, it was
hardcore nowadays means comfortable.
Yes. You're comfortably hardcore.
But I think, like, hey, we were just at, him and I were at Quads in Chicago.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a good mix. Like,
I heard that's a great gym.
Great gym, great equipment. It's old school, but it's also like fairly clean, right? Like,
sure.
So I'm not against it. I love going to those gyms too, and I wouldn't say I want to train there every day. But I respect them, like them.
So I think your version of hardcore is well kept and good, proper equipment.
Yeah,
and
the right equipment.
Well, hardcore doesn't mean dirty.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Doug. But hardcore to me means I can get dirty if I want.
Well, you can get dirty.
But here's the thing. It's like I would say this is like art.
If it's clean, you can make more mess.
You
get dirty anyway.
Well, no, because sometimes if the gym is too nice,
yeah,
I feel bad grunting too loud or making or sweating on the machines.
People, and that's what we're good with. We're all about like being extreme in your training. We ain't gonna tell someone to be quiet. Like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Like that. Like that's just part of it, right? So we ain't gonna stop that.
We're just training.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ben.
Where would you train? I know you stay on that side. Walking. Some people were like, the fuck's going on over there? They haven't got used to that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different movie. But that gym was an established gym that we took over to. So it's got a little bit of a different crowd. Most of it does cater to like bodybuilding and lifting, so it won't get too bad. But we were also there at 2:30 in the afternoon, so it's probably some older people there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, hardcore means something different to everybody. But for me personally, I think... as long as I can go in and work out the way I want to work out, and other people in the gym are also training hard, then I feel like that can be considered hardcore, right? But I do like a little bit of dirt.
Those are fun.
What do you think? What do you think? What's your version of hardcore?
You know, I'm all about. I think hardcore is basically it's minimal. You got to have the equipment. It has to be somewhere where you can really perform. But it's always nice to have. After you're done training, have somewhere to relax and go to a clean bathroom and, vomit in a clean toilet.
I wonder, so people think of, Temple Gym as hardcore.
But it's smelly. It's like...
It's smelly part of it.
I don't want to hear the smell.
See,
but it's the distractions,
Brandon's more in the middle with us. You're too old.
You new school motherfucker.
Here's one thing, though, that I've noticed. So we're in Franklin, right, which is a suburb of Nashville.
Yeah.
Pretty well to do. We have, our rep here is a hardcore gym. People come in here, and they see that the people are actually serious.
It's a bodybuilding.
So we honestly, a lot of times, don't get those people who feel kind of uncomfortable because, like, they walk in here, most of the people are a bigger build, serious. So I think the new era, this is almost considered hardcore.
I think what you capture that is considered hardcore now more than anything is the equipment.
Yeah.
When I walk into your place, I can tell that the equipment is hand-selected, it's well thought out. And I think that's what you guys are talking about. Like, you've got Ben and Justin also thinks the same. The equipment has to be conducive to having a great workout.
Where do you pitch my home gym? Because I feel like that's a good...
Your home gym's a hardcore gym. I would consider this a hardcore gym. But there's levels of hardcore, right? There's gross. There's gross.
Right.
And then there's, like, clean hardcore.
Yeah.
I consider this clean hardcore.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
What's mine? Mine's clean hardcore.
And then yours is on the cleaner side.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I think that's what people want now. They don't want gross.
It's COVID area.
Yeah, don't
want to clean. Yeah, that is true.
But I do like hand-selected, all the hand-selected equipment, well-thought-out paint, schemes, all that. It's like, it's welcoming if you want to come in and train. And the people there do, like, a lot of people that were over there today, they do look like they're serious, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that'll be the new crowd we get to, because we have a mix of them now, but, like, people walk into the store, you pretty much know when you walk in, if you want to join or not. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So... and, like, what we have here is you have, like, a lifetime, and we ain't going to capture the person who wants to go just do cardio and amenities, but we are getting people who are like, man, the training is just not up to speed, right?
Yeah,
I can't push myself, so we get a lot of those people here, and I think why we want a bigger gym is because there's only so much space here, so there's so much demand here that it just makes sense.
So correct me if I'm wrong, this is the easier of your two businesses. It's two, right?
You mean
because you're the president of Armada,
yeah,
which I would assume is much more time consuming,
yeah,
and much. I feel like this is more of a passion.
Yeah, and I don't like Brandon knows this too. I'm not active really in it. I'm like big picture
for Armada or Carbon. Yeah,
my wife now has stepped in and kind of running the operations. I have another general manager, Matt. So I honestly like I'm almost like selfish. I come here to train at the gym and kind of give the big picture idea.
Sure.
So I can't take much credit for it.
So
Armada's a little bit more intense.
Yeah. Do you enjoy owning a gym? Do you enjoy being part of the ownership and making decisions? Like, is this like a real passion for you? Is it more like your wife does most of the work and you kind of just enjoy being here?
I think it's similar to what I see with you in summer, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a kind of a split. She has things she's really good at. I'm not good at sometimes back stuff, like the back end stuff, details, and I don't want to get involved.
Sure.
I want the gym to be like this. I want the vibe to be like this. I want this equipment.
Yeah.
Let's go make it happen.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoy that. And honestly, I would say the last 6 months have been the funnest I've had in the gym.
Yeah.
The momentum in this gym has been just awesome. We've been just kind of a hot gym, watching people come in and want to come in here because they want to, like, go to that next level.
Yeah.
As corny as that sounds. And then now with this new gym, I think, like, we can do something for him. I think it can be the best gym. It will be the best gym in Tennessee.
Well, because I know you have 32,000 square feet, so that's a lot of room to make some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And you're putting a revive clinic in there.
Yep.
So that's going to be what is actually going to be in the clinics. Just all health and wellness. Vitamin drips, all that kind of stuff, or is there other things that we don't know about?
Hormone therapy, it won't be so advertised, but like it's more getting people right, get the blood work right, sure where they're at, help them with their next fitness goal. And then you got liquid IVs, obviously, right, which is huge, and then Botox, so the aesthetics. This area has become, they call it the Malibu of the South, California's moving here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying that environment, they're used to that kind of stuff. This is here, there's not. A lot of them around here, so it's kind of all in one. There's nothing like it.
Sure. Except you do a lot of weight trips.
Yeah.
How often?
Once a week.
Is there a cocktail that you specifically get? Stop you doing.
Could I just go in? Like they just know.
No, like, this is what you need.
Yeah.
They give it to you?
Yeah. I mean, there's things like glutathione. Like, right?
What's that?
I'm big on that.
Glutathione.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, you can't really get it in any kind of outside of getting injected.
Sure.
By far the strongest antioxidant.
Yeah.
So we're going to be select with the ones we do. We don't want to just, like, you know, put fairy dust in there.
Yeah.
Make money. So,
can you speak up just a little bit?
Yes, sir.
No. I want to make sure the audio comes.
Yeah.
So, are you doing anything like that at your place or no?
We're strictly straight. We have a ropes area. You know, just all good good equipment. A lot of bonus out.
You have cardio there?
Yeah, of course. Because we're in the competitor organization. So, we have those special step meals. That's, I think that's a good
thing. What special step meals?
Well, the Intesa brand, incline.
What is it? Have you seen these?
Yeah.
The Korean.
What does it do? Tell me.
They incline. They're just able. So not just be stationary.
Because they're Korean, you ask me if I know what they are.
Well, because you're Asian, so I figured you might know.
So it's pretty sweet. So we like to make an environment where, the guys that are, competitive pilot, we have a posing room and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All the kind of things are web. The guys who just want to take it to the next level and just want a nice place to train, What I'm hearing a lot is, we got a Crunch Fitness to just open up. Murfreesboro is a very competitive gym market. That's why I started bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So you got hardcore, so I started training. Sporting Olympus, style place.
Yeah.
It's basically an underground dungeon. It's a nice place to train.
Yeah.
But then you have the corporate, you have Anytime Fitnesses, you have Quantum is now there.
Is Crunch going to be like a $10 a month kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of like whatever the Crunch model is. But what we're finding out is a lot of people, I've been seeing a lot more Crunch people coming in lately. Because I have a trainer that works over there. There's new people coming in. So I'll get progressive from Crunch because they're getting tired of that commercial field.
Sure.
So, that's the gym you can come. And it's not the commercial feel. And everybody, there, it's just like a respect kind of deal. Because, everybody's there for work, something serious. And more than there, they'd be motivated by those people that are working and being serious. So it's nice enough to get that kind of, those curious people in. We already have hotels that are in the area so we can guest passes and people in town. So it's just a nice little setup. And it's not, you do your cardio, look out the window, it's a nice view.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a business. It's so crazy. It's 30 miles apart. It's two completely different environments.
Yeah,
so, the average income around here is household income is $145,000, which is extremely high.
Yeah.
Then you go to Murfreesboro, it's not bad, but it's half.
Sure.
So, what you can offer and what you can do, right? So that's what we're starting to learn with the gyms is one size does not fit all.
Yeah.
That's definitely where it's at, right?
Yeah.
So, we're learning to adapt.
So, you guys train together, could it?
Yeah.
Nick and Brandon, what did you guys train?
Shoulders.
How was it?
It was good. I did more of his style, really high volume.
So what's high volume? Tell me what you did.
Like 12 to 15 reps, 4 sets, everything.
How many exercises?
A lot.
5?
He did 85 minutes.
Three rear delts, three rear side delts.
Yeah, how did you train shoulders for an hour
and a half? Two presses.
Two presses.
Wait, so I'll say that again.
Three rear delts.
Three rear delts?
Yeah.
That's not three rear delts. Two lateral raises.
Okay.
And two presses.
Why are you doing three rear delts?
Because I like rear delts. You want to make sure
that ask him about the rear delts.
Yeah, he's got one. I need to have Brandon Curry delts on stage.
He's allowed to.
I'm going to bring up a picture of Brandon Curry's rear delts here. And I see if they're really worth three exercises.
You're like, after three rear delts, you're like, oh my gosh.
You finish with three rear delts?
And when you finish with it, you're like, my shoulders are so pumped. It feels like,
We started with that.
Yeah, you started with
that. We started with rears, then to the sides, presses, and then did it again.
No. Oh, you did all three rear delts all at once.
Yeah.
Then you did sides, then you did presses.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Why does that make sense?
Ben's the
you'll never win.
You're never going to win. You're never going to win like that, right?
All I know is the pump's nasty.
I don't know.
I've never done. I'm going to try that.
I do this.
Let's go with the laterals. You do three rear delts?
No. I do rears first.
That's obvious. Everyone does that. Most pros do rears first.
Some do sides first.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a big deal to just rears first. Three rears is not normal.
Three rears
is
not normal.
Which rear delt?
But, if you want 3D,
I'm not, listen, you're Mr. Olympia. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, which rear delt exercise do you do?
All right, we had some poor range motion on the reverse back.
Okay.
So we did side saddle single arm, so cross body.
Yeah,
that was more range motion. So it's really serious.
That was during the pack deck.
Yeah, side saddle cross body.
Okay.
So you get way more range motion, way more tension.
I've never tried that. I didn't try that. Okay.
And then we did we used the little lateral fly with pads.
Yeah.
Use that as a rhythm.
So you bent over it.
Then overhead on the pad.
I do like that.
But
that
I
good. That always feels good.
But a higher angle, so the elbow's more towards the ear,
sure,
instead of back here.
Yeah.
And that just smoked them. And then we did a 45 degree angle.
Yeah,
just right here.
Yeah.
Okay. For high reps, 20 reps. Because you got a little swing.
Yeah.
Five.
Do you always do three or no?
No.
How did three feel?
Rough.
Yeah?
So that's 12 sets of rear delts.
Yeah, I normally do like one, maybe two.
Most I've done is two of each head of the delt. I've never done three. That's what I was missing the whole time.
Yeah. So by the time you get to
my shoulders were shit.
I could have been Mr. My shoulders are fucking wider than yours. But still wider than yours, I'm natural.
These guys love each other.
So, what laterals did you have for that?
We just did a standard, what?
Dumbbell?
Well, we
first
did
the cables.
Cable.
Cable.
That was hard.
That was rough. Tension from the bottom?
Yeah. And then after that.
And then we got to
see the dumbbell.
Because we didn't want to stand up.
Yeah.
We're feeling lazy after that. So,
he was like, let's sit.
See, it's harder anyway.
It is.
And then you did presses after. What presses did you do?
Well, they had a Hammerschmidt press machine. So we went there and then we did a flex fitness one.
Yeah,
kind of slightly neutral.
So it's safe to say you don't believe in the whole overtraining.
What do you mean?
You're like, what does that mean?
Training oxygen gym.
A lot of people would say that's overtraining. So you don't fuck with that. You just go. I'm just asking a question.
If you eat enough, it's not overtraining.
Shoulders are still 6 feet.
Okay, so you told him, say, I like that you didn't have that kind of exercise sets wise.
Yeah.
You would.
So what is it like? What is the quad? What is your quad?
Do you separate your legs?
Yeah.
I was. You know, I got some suggestions for putting them together, which makes my workouts extremely long.
Yeah,
I'll do it anyway.
Have you ever tried?
Do you like
them? Okay, I'm offering advice.
I like to separate.
I just want to ask him. Okay, I'm asking you a question. I'm not offering advice. Have you ever tried doing like quad dominant, hamstring dominant, or the separate, but you still do one?
I've tried it.
And what's your favorite?
But right now, I'm just training legs once a week.
Yeah.
But when I do training legs twice a week, it could be executed more that way. When I'm in oxygen, actually, I train 2 times a day, so quads in the AM, hamstrings in the PM, so it's twice a week.
So what is a quad? What does your AM quad day look like?
AM quad days, probably at least do 4 exercises, 5.
It's not that bad. 4 exercises for quads.
4. Like cube lunges.
Cube
lunges, that's 5.
Yeah. 5 is too much.
You're looking at 20 working sets.
Yeah, at least. Depends on how heavy we're going on machines. So
let me ask you this, aside from exercises. So like when Ben trains, he'll do like 4 sets of an exercise, but he'll do like 2 or 3 feeders, or 2 feeders, and then a top set, and then a back off set.
Keeps the rest.
Would you? What do you do? Like, if you're doing 4 sets, is it all failure?
No. The first ones I'm trying to, I don't waste the time. I really, really wait till at least the last two to kind of push it.
But are you still doing like 10 reps or something on the first and second ones?
Depends on the exercise.
Yeah.
If it's a small muscle group, no.
Okay. What hacks? Stick hack squats.
If it's a hack squat, if I know I'm going to go heavy,
you save some.
I'll save some.
Okay.
I'll save some. And my triple may change.
But your rep range is like this, typically the same. You're just going way up.
It can be same. But like shoulders are like high. I like high range.
Listen, we're not saying like every time, because obviously all of our training varies from day to day depending on how we feel, but in general,
my minimum is 10 reps.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Minimum is 10 reps. And depending on, I like to, I prefer, sometimes they don't like me to be explosive, but I prefer to be explosive.
Yeah,
I'm better.
Oh, why do you go slow concentric?
Yeah, that's going to do with it.
John was always against that.
I like being
John always felt like controlled negatives and explosive concentrics, slow eccentrics and explosive concentrics were the way to go.
Yeah.
So explosive on the way through the movement.
I feel like I have my best look and more density when I train what I like.
Yeah.
That's just because athletic background is just a fast switch muscle fiber stimulation. I think that's better.
Yeah. What do you think, Ben? Like, you're the science background coach. Do you think explosive or slow concentrics? I mean, both can work, obviously, but like,
I don't like
what
slow,
would you recommend?
I don't like slow eccentrics.
You don't like slow eccentrics?
Concentrics.
Yeah.
I don't like slow concentrics. I don't like very explosive concentrics.
Okay.
What I do like is a pause and then an explosion. That way.
You're not talking a long pause, you're only like half a second,
So if you're doing short press,
Cool.
But that pause, the pure momentum, because if you say to someone, on the way up, I want explosive as possible, what they're doing is when they're arriving at the bottom, they're already starting to.
They're springing it out of the hole. Yeah,
so they're going to get that like stretch reflex response, right? And they're going to initiate out, so
sure.
I want to kill momentum for a split second, then drive out.
Yeah.
Because if you say to most people, I want to explode on the way up, as like I said, they get almost like rushing out the hole.
Yeah.
It's just like, I want explosive, but after the force.
Yeah.
That way the muscle's going to get loaded and the weight will move from the muscle rather than from when you go through into that like elastic kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
ground,
yeah. You don't
you're
inertia.
You're doing the tendons are doing all, there's a lot of feedback from the tendon coming
yeah.
out that initial movement.
So for people watching, when you're watching pros train, if they're not pausing the way Ben's saying, it doesn't, it's, you're not necessarily saying they have to pause, you're just saying you don't have to sprint.
Yeah, look, I know
it's going to happen. People are going to watch this and be like, well, so-and-so doesn't pause, so-and-so doesn't pause. But there's a difference between springing out of the hole and just being able to go back.
Driving out of the hole,
yeah.
Versus
yeah.
springing out of the hole.
Yeah, yeah.
A way to...
You know what he's talking about, right? Yeah.
I just think you reach the same destination, just use different techniques.
Well, of course, yeah. But I just think, I agree with Ben, because what he's saying is springing out of the hole, you're losing the entire beginning of the movement and the part that's going to build the most power.
I think fast eccentrics cause, there's something you said about fast eccentrics.
Fast eccentrics?
Yeah.
You think they're good?
Yeah.
Really?
I think they cause more actual.
It causes a lot of acceleration.
Because when you have, reversing momentum is not easy. You have to decelerate. Even though you think
I can see that.
Not, you still have to decelerate.
Yeah.
And decelerating something faster is probably a lot more harder than people actually.
But I think you're more catching the weight instead of the muscle working from point A to point B.
Yeah, but you have a stress reflex. But how many times is that stress reflex? How many reps is that going to kick in for? It's not going to, you're going to have to really recruit where it's not going to be, it's going to be null. You got initial that stress reflex, but as those muscle fibers continue to fire, those motor units continue to fire, eventually you're going to have to recruit.
I think if you took two guys and one did slow eccentrics and one did fast eccentrics, the guy doing slow eccentrics would grow faster.
Man, it is
the thing.
Huh? I'm the slow, he's the fast.
Yeah, you're bigger.
He's bigger right now.
I'm joking.
I do think that the main factor would be achieving failure. So however you get there under your personal preference, taking a set to failure. I believe that the more efficient way to arrive at failure is the pause and the drive out versus the stretch reflex.
Yeah.
Right? But ultimately, in terms of hypertrophy, as long as you're able to fully exhaust the muscle fiber,
yeah,
that's the end goal. That's where hypertrophy lives. That's where
sure
lives. So it's about.
But we talk about unnecessary reps, right? We always talk
yeah
about that.
Yeah.
And we talk about me doing unnecessary reps. I do like sets 1 and 2. I'll do 10 reps. When you're like, well, you only need 5 or 6 to get the muscle acclimated. So if you're dropping the eccentric, yeah, you're going to reach failure, but you're going to reach failure. It's going to take you more reps.
That's
than the guy
I mean
who's slower on
so
the eccentric.
One second about my opinion is, like, what I'm trying to reach is natural deceleration, where I'm trying to move the weight fast, but
yeah
it's not moving fast.
Okay.
That lets me know that I'm hitting that.
But isn't that saying the same thing as failure, though? It's kind of the same
terminology. That lets me know, well, I'm leaving a couple reps in reserve or whatever it may be.
Sure.
Those ground reps where I'm really still trying to move the weight fast, that's how I'm gauging. If I'm stopping every time and thinking about that, then I don't think I'm getting to that point, because I think that fatigue or that pause, I think it takes too much out of me. Just in having that natural deceleration process take
but you
fast
also as advanced, you have good muscle memory and just
control.
You can feel it, right?
A lot of people are
it's
watching
fun
for me.
But I wonder,
yeah,
like, when you say you do a fast eccentric,
it's
you're
slower.
You're still feeling it.
Yeah, it's slower than
okay
my.
But
than
this
my,
is this is a little different than talking about. See, I'm talking about the beginner, because a lot of people watching are beginners. So I'm talking about the guy who's literally dropping the weight and catching it at the bottom.
No,
that's
about.
No, no, and
right,
it's fine. Controlled is different than what I'm saying.
So this is where you're going to fucking hate me.
I always hate.
This is where the skill aspect of what you're going to come in. Because Brandon is able to do the 10 things to do it whilst getting maximum muscle recruitment, like mind-muscle connection, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you get Joe Blow comes in, beginner, and he tries to emulate not the same weight, but the same lifting pattern.
Yeah, he's not going to.
He's going to miss the mark,
yeah,
right?
Okay, I never said there was zero skill involved in bodybuilding. So it's crazy. I said there is less. What do you think?
It's less. I'll discuss with him.
No, wait, before we move on, I need to
same thing. Still,
there's different types of approach.
Because I said to him, I'm more of a bottom rep guy.
Yeah.
He's more of a top rep guy. And, you know,
explain what that means. What do you mean bottom rep?
Well, I like the stretch range.
Bottom. You like the what?
Stretch range.
So you like the bottom part
of
the
range?
Yeah. And you like the lockout?
I go all the way to the top.
Yeah.
But he may not even come as deep, though. So
what you're saying is, so, like, I remember, you know, Jason Howe used to talk about this all the time, staying in that tension range. So for you, you're in the bottom to the midway.
So shoulder press might look like.
Yeah. Or somebody watching that might not understand.
And Nick's locking out of top.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I guess my only point is to people watching is you're not dropping the weight.
No.
You're still in control,
even
though your descent is faster than other people.
Look, if you watch Brandon train, though, not many people get into like this style. You have a connection with your muscle and mind that is so far advanced, even some pros, you can do shit that block can't.
That's what I'm trying to get together. Maybe I should train with you guys tomorrow.
There's lifts that he does that don't even look like
anything
else.
We're not here anyway.
Are we training? We're training tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah.
You throw up my day with shoulders, man. You see straight back.
Let's train legs tomorrow.
Legs?
Train legs tomorrow.
I'll do even legs.
Just some crazy stuff.
Okay.
Well, you want to. I'll train with
my legs are still sore from my other leg day.
Probably. Anybody wants a true.
I've been training legs.
I'm training
over here hanging out by myself.
Those people don't know. Brent is doing the Masters Nationals next week.
It's a week out.
He's a week out from the Masters Nationals next week in men's physique. So, listen, we make jokes about men's physique, but anybody who gets shredded for a show has felt the pain.
I would say, men's physique, that's some really good athletes. They also have some that give a bad representation, right?
Yeah.
I get it, and I think it's got a bad stigma a lot of times, but
we just joke around.
No,
honestly,
it's one of those where we joke around and we kind of off meat as well.
True. Totally get it.
That's not true.
I get it.
That's not true. I think if you can pack on the muscle and you can get shredded, then you're doing all of the same thing.
For me, dude, it's the journey. Like, I love it.
Yeah,
the process. So, I obviously have a job that I could never put on. One, I'm not genetically to be a bodybuilder anyway.
Sure.
And two, I have a job that
you don't sit down enough to grow.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing people probably don't understand is watching. They're like,
I always sit.
Being the president of Armada and dealing with how many supplement companies?
Not as many as you think, but it's, business.
Even if you're dealing with a dozen, still,
more.
You're running around all day long.
Yeah.
While you're running around all day long, you also are helping with the gym. You're also trying to get ready for a show. I have kids.
I love it. To me, it's like, that's why I get kind of mad when people complain that are like in preps. It's like, don't do it.
I complain all the time.
His personality is driven for it.
But it's fun, man. Like, it's my therapy, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, I'll do cardio really early in the morning where it doesn't affect anybody. I don't miss any time.
But do you like being hungry?
What's that?
Do you like being hungry?
I would prefer to be hungry.
I think he's so busy.
Wait a minute. That's a good question, guys.
I understand that.
I totally agree with you guys. I'm much more productive when I'm a little hungry.
Dude,
I feel better.
You always want what you don't have, right?
Yeah.
When you're hungry, I feel like, one, you have more energy, you feel actually better.
100%.
You're to a certain degree.
You're far too
worthless.
I just said this to my wife a week ago.
It's going to be rough to get off this couch.
Listen, a week ago, me and my wife were talking because I had a streak of Uber Eats nights. And I was like, you know what? It's fun while you're eating. I did it, Ben. I'm sorry. I just crashed.
Are you so lazy you do the reorder, though?
Yeah, I have done that yet. Yes, I'll have that again. No, there was three or four days where I did Uber. And I said to my wife, I'm like, you know, it's fun being full for 30 minutes. And then I'm like, oh, I feel like shit.
Yeah.
I actually always feel better when I'm a little hungry.
Yeah.
Not starving, but just a little
bit. It's like things too, is like when you look forward to that next meal.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds, that's awesome. Then you eat, but then a lot of times you eat it and you're like, shit, I'm still hungry.
Yeah.
But that's where you've gone too far.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to be in the place where while I'm eating, I'm like this, I'm so
hungry. That meal I just ate, I was like, shit, it's running out quick. Well, Ben's on bikini calories right now, so he's got.
How many calories did he bet?
1,500.
1,500
on a training day, 1,200.
1,200 is not even livable. That's one meal today. That's breakfast.
Hey, you know that when I'm peeled.
How are you living on 1,200? And you're cycling and shit.
Yeah.
Holy
are
God.
You okay?
Are you okay?
The thing is, being busy, the last year, I've been busier than ever, so the hunger doesn't get me as much.
But
before then,
I guess you...
bodybuilding. And I had to sit around in between meals.
That's it.
It was torture.
Yeah, hold on. I bet you one thing, though. This is right. My day goes by so fast, I'm not hungry, right?
Yeah.
Nightman.
When I'm oh, my gosh.
I go in the fridge, and now I have sparkling ice and Gatorade. Yeah. So I'm going to walk there, and I just need to see the fridge. So I just gun like a sparkling ice. Yeah. And I'm like,
oh, I say most of my calories, like probably 70% of my calories come from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m.
Yeah.
I'll get two big meals and go to bed.
Yeah, during the day, I'm good too, man. It's like right at 8 o'clock, me and my wife sit down and watch TV, or 9 o'clock, because, you know, we work all day long. Around 9 o'clock, we'll chill for a couple hours and watch TV. Then all of a sudden, I'm fucking... But that's, you know, goes to say is, I think people don't realize how long they can actually go without food.
That's why I said to you that the week. It's like, you don't...
People think they're hungry, but I want sometimes...
It's all mine.
Sometimes I wonder if they're bored and not hungry.
Oh, I'm definitely bored.
When I'm bored,
I'm definitely bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the night's the struggle, man.
Yeah. So how was training with Brandon? Seriously?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
How was it? I know you don't like to get in deep shit, but I have to ask you. Does it... Do you think anything training with a Mr. Olympia?
There we go.
I almost said 4 minutes. Does that give you any type of motivations, give you any type of drive?
Yeah, of course it does.
Do you think yourself, I'm training with a Mr. Olympia? Like, or are you
yes
past,
or
are you
no. Like, I know he's Mr. Olympia, but I didn't look at it in that
sense. So you're kind of past that point.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So you're looking at it more like competition? Like friendly competition, obviously.
Yes and no. I looked at it more as that we're training together, we're friends, came on a workout.
Yeah. So at no time during the workout, you're like, I'm going to beat this guy in September or December?
Oh, I think that every day. But...
What about you?
You know, Jim is work and fun at the same time. You know, so,
yeah.
You know, we both love to train, just love the sport. So feeding off his energy, speeding off mine, you know, we're joking around a little bit, you know, just to ease some of the pain, you know.
Is there any point at all during the workout where you're like, this guy's young and hungry and coming up? Or are you not thinking that either?
Oh, yeah, I already know that. It's preconceived, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I like that. I like that energy.
Were you able to keep up?
Yeah, just,
even through all the volume?
Yeah. Well, because I remember I trained with Kamal.
Yeah, that's true.
Kamal's very high volume. Too.
Yeah, Kamal is.
What do you think's going to happen in December?
What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
You say September.
December.
Okay. Oh, you said December.
December.
Well, it's a good year for me, I think. So.
Yeah, I think actually is our kind of me being representative. Brandon.
You're his agent.
I think we bought out his agent. That's Brandon. But I'll be the agent for this conversation.
Okay.
Let's put some money on it.
Oh, shit. You don't have your money.
No, I'm not. It's not about how much.
Not big money?
Do I get yeah, you got faith? I think you got faith.
I got faith. I'm going to sit up for this conference.
Do I get to represent home to them in this?
We can do it.
Oh, yeah. That's
all
great.
I'm sorry about
that. Makes it even better.
I'll
that
your money.
Fun.
That's 2, 4, and 5.
So you got Hunter. I got my boy.
And I got Nick.
You got Nick. I think we do, think about this. Let's get
I don't think we should do money. I think we should do something shitty.
Yeah, I'm not
like,
sure.
I know Brent's got
money. You're free. You're just
not, you don't have to do anything. We're
the horses.
You're the horses.
We're the rich white people.
I've always been jealous of Brent's hair. He's got really good hair.
Yeah.
I can see a shaving.
I'll shave it, but here's my thing for you then.
Okay.
I agree to that. You have to grow a handlebar mustache.
Handlebar mustache?
Yeah, and wear it for at least 2 weeks.
And that's only if Brandon...
Because he has to shave the beard.
Well, yeah.
It's just a straight-up creepy...
And that's only if Brandon beats Vic.
Correct.
That's not equal to just shaving your head. You probably still look good with a shaved head.
No, I got to comb it. I said, no, the back here is a little bit of a day.
Ben, you think that's equal? A handlebar mustache with a twirly
shaved hair.
Yeah, but his hair was a lot.
Yeah, that's
a shaved head. It's just not for you.
But our hair.
The only time I've known Brett, the hair is exactly the same place.
Don't touch it.
It's okay. It's
see, our hair means a lot.
He's got good hair too.
It's the meaning.
It's the meaning.
I mean, dude, a handlebar mustache. Come on.
That's really I don't even know if I can grow that.
Call you like professor.
I doubt you can grow it.
Before I agree to this, what are you doing?
So we got to think about this. We got to tell him what he's got to do.
No, I can put it off, so come at me.
You can't pull it off.
Well, fine. You have to fucking dye your hair purple.
Fine.
No, that's...
He said fine.
He probably, if you look back, he's probably... No, he's got a fine
sorry. Oh, again? Okay.
Again.
Let's think about this. Nah, man, you got to find some. What do we got? Brandon, you got any ideas for Monday?
How bad it is.
We will think about it and come back.
How bad it is.
The R2s are locked.
You good with that?
I don't know if mine's locked.
Yeah.
No.
I got to make it better.
How do you have a hand?
I want to make sure
you should agree to any.
No, I got
to
make sure he says he's
like, well, I'll do it. Fine.
It's not about me. I got to make sure he does something shitty.
Go ahead.
You're shaving my head will kill me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Like, if,
look
I mean,
at
I,
that hair. Look at that hairline.
I will bother.
That hairline.
All right,
he's going to go clean shaven and the head.
Yes.
Top and bottom.
Yes, top and bottom.
No, this
and it's got to be and it's got to be big.
Yeah, double something.
No, he's going to get rid of the 100%. But the only thing is, the hand, it is not. It's a handlebar.
No other facial hair.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
No other facial hair. Just
you have to do no facial hair except for your eyebrows. No hair on your
face.
Except for your eyebrows.
Okay.
For also 2 weeks.
Fine. Well,
that's not however long hair grows.
You have to take photos of this.
You probably take a lot of growth.
You have to get photos of this. No hair. No hair.
Hey, Floyd, you don't mind if I just load up on growth right before this?
Be safe.
All right, what's Ben going to do? Okay, we'll figure out what Ben's going to do after.
I think about something here.
Listen, whatever it is, Nick's going to hold.
Okay, so here's the rule. So, wait a second. We have a three-way about how would this actually work here.
Yeah, so, two
don't win.
Yeah. So, whoever's first. So, if Nick beats Brandon and Hunter,
yep.
Then you guys both got to do whatever the fuck we agree on.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Yeah. So, Nick, don't fuck this up. So your plan. So one of the things people don't know is you haven't been back to Kuwait. The last time you were in Kuwait was only for 8 weeks.
Ten
weeks. And you think that's part of the reason why you weren't at your absolute best?
It was the last minute decision to go on.
Yeah,
I was expecting to be my last ultimate best, but
sure.
I was expecting to try to win.
So this year, you think you're going to be at your best or close to it or better because you're there for 4 months.
Yeah.
Of course.
Cool.
So what do you think?
My last look at
you're not backing out of the bat now that you got that information.
I already knew that information.
Because like our bet is locked, dude. You ain't, that's it.
Well, my last look at prep was 11 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, you're second.
Yeah.
So you're going to say an extra 5 weeks is going to make you that much better.
Was I really second? Yeah.
Was
I really second?
Oh, you really want my opinion?
Yeah.
I think you're second. It was a close second.
Okay.
I love you.
I'm hurt.
But it was a close second.
I'm sure. Okay.
You think you're first?
Yeah, of course.
Where do you think you won?
I think I won.
Yeah, but what? Do you win all the shots or just overall physique? Like if somebody said to you, Brandon, break down why you beat Rami. What would you say?
I say, what did I didn't win? What shot I didn't win?
What shot didn't you win?
What shot did I give Rami?
Side shots?
No, because my side chest is actually better than
his. Your lower body.
Maybe side chest?
Maybe side chest.
Side chest, side try?
No, I'll give him a side try.
Back shots you won?
Yeah.
Front double's close.
Okay, you say that.
Front lat, close. So you traded shots? Was his conditioning a little better than yours?
Not last
even.
Year.
Or was yours better?
No, his was better.
Last year, he was better. The year before, Rocky was better.
Yeah, and
Brandon's conditioning was better.
So you think he should have won also?
I wouldn't have been that.
Well, wait a minute.
Hey, that's
a different way of saying it. Nobody would have been mad if Brandon won.
I
could have seen
Brandon. I would have been.
I didn't say I couldn't see Ben. Ben would have been mad.
No, he said hottie.
So hottie. No, but like, of course, if you would have won, I would have been like, no, there's no way. For sure. I could make a case for both.
That night show, man, he did. I thought, like, I would have almost had it.
You thought he pulled it out?
I thought Rami looked better.
But I thought Rami looked better than I showed.
Hottie looked better.
Am I remembering?
Well, I think Hottie looked
a lot
great
on Saturday.
I know Hottie looked better.
Finals, Hottie was finesse.
No, I agree with you, but wasn't Rami was also better on the Saturday, wasn't he?
A little.
I think he was off. He wasn't.
You thought he was the same?
He's marginal.
Okay, I wasn't there, so I can't speak to
it. Of the top five, I think they all got significantly better into the finals.
Yeah.
Rami less so than everyone else. You know, I think they all.
But he was already ahead.
Yeah, I think everybody took a big jump from Friday to Saturday. Like, Hunt definitely did.
Do you believe in the knocking of the chip? Sorry, Ben.
I think I was fifth.
regardless.
No, no, from. Do you think your Friday night look was better than. Or did you think you improved from Saturday? Or
yeah.
The same?
I think I improved.
Yeah.
But I think from prejudging the finals, I was pretty. I was fit, regardless.
Do you believe in the knocking down champ?
Always when it's convenient.
Only when it's for you. Good answer. No, seriously, though, do you believe in that? Because I don't know if I believe in it. I'm like, look, he's better, he's better. But
no, I don't believe in knocking it out. I mean, it's just the same, but in reality, does it really happen a lot?
Well, because I'm thinking about you and Rami, right? So Rami was Mr. Olympia, and you kind of traded shots.
Yeah.
I don't think your conditioning was that different. So I wonder if they just gave it to him because they're already Mr. Olympia. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I think that saying would apply. But seeing as you're a former Mr. Olympia, maybe it doesn't, because you're on even.
Yeah. And maybe if you mean a rookie or something.
Because he's a former Mr. Olympia, who's an equal, but even keel.
He's run, he's fucking bright.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm just, thinking out loud.
Yeah.
What do you think, Robbie and Brandon, as someone who was there?
I lost his Olympia.
Yeah. And don't say Brandon because Brandon's sitting
I'm
here.
I'm trying to look at him, so. On the Friday night, Brandon, considering that I saw the 19 looking person too, so I compared to the best I've seen.
Okay.
You weren't that. But then I was there in 2020 and saw Rami and he wasn't that either.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They were both less than their best.
Yeah.
I thought Rami on Friday night was better. I think Rami was better on the Saturday, but I think Hadi was better than everybody on the Saturday.
What do you think about Hadi?
He was too off.
Yeah, he couldn't make up the ground.
Yeah.
What do you? Okay, so if he'd have turned up Friday looking like he did both nights, you think he would have?
Yeah, I would have considered him, small regret. But
then we had the shoulder issue.
That's take
so,
that out. If we can look past that,
I mean, I can look past it, but I'm just saying that was part
of the
reason.
I can see that being a big hurdle. Like,
it's hard to look past it now because it'll come up.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, at the time, I was like, I don't. Because, it's part of the sport. People do.
At the minute, it's a big bone of contention. It's actually somebody asked me online about it.
But when you're talking about SEO, I'm just talking about site injection.
Okay, well, whatever it is, right?
But nobody knows what it is, so I'm going to give a benefit of the doubt and say it's site injection.
Okay, manipulation of your physique from injection
or
whatever, right?
Yeah.
I don't really see I don't understand why people are mad about it when we're in a sport where we're saying, hey, take a horse, a veterinarian formulated drug to make your body look as good as it can. I believe that people are ruining physiques with it, but they're also ruining physiques with using drugs anyway.
Okay, but wait a minute. So
I think everything that's on the table, if you can make your physique look a certain way.
I think there's a certain amount of acceptable limits to it for me personally. Me and Luke had this conversation a long time ago. I think we both kind of agreed that if it's your biceps or triceps, who cares? And I know that sounds silly to people watching, but you can't. You have to build a back. You have to build legs. You can't fake them. And those are the hardest things. But I think if I'm going to play devil's advocate, I would say the reason people are upset is there's a lot of purists out there that are like, injectable hormones and stuff, but at least it's still your tissue.
But where's the line, though? Right?
That's the line.
Because
that's your tissue.
The natural federation would be like, well, out. We're the purists.
No, I get it. But now you're talking about an entirely new thing. You're like, that's not even your tissue.
I just think if we're able to...
So then where do we draw a line? Do we say implants are okay? I can go to the doctor and say...
Well, the wellness girls are getting into
but they're getting marked down. They're getting marked down for it.
Oh, these are notes?
Well, of course.
Girls that win it,
you can't mark down people if you don't know.
And that's my point. Using SEO, if somebody says you've got a real bad missing body part, that where if they didn't use an SEO or site injection, whatever you want to say, you'd be like, well, they've got no rear delts.
Yeah.
And they're marked down. But then say somebody does use it, you don't know they use it, you don't even notice it on stage.
Yeah.
You can find out 10 years later they used it.
Yeah.
But you had no idea.
Yeah.
And you went, that's even great.
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
No, because you don't know.
That's what I mean.
So no, but I'm saying
anything's on the table to make your physique look better.
Yeah.
Well, if you're using it, it looks obvious. Now,
my thing is this. You're not going to put everybody under an x-ray and be like, oh, this guy used SEO, this guy didn't. So what I'm saying is, if it's noticeable, just like an implant, just like then...
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of should you be allowed, like, fuck, you know, you're letting these guys do everything else.
You're not allowed, but if you didn't make it noticeable, then nobody cares.
Okay.
You
just need to be good at it.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta be good at it.
I mean, this...
So it doesn't look like it's
right.
Shape.
Yeah, it's broke.
There's like 400 grand on the table. Really? You gotta... Everything's on the table. So make your physique the best you can.
We're having two different conversations. So as an athlete, I agree with you 100%. As a purist fan, I'm like, if you're going to do it, cool. But if I find out, I definitely don't agree.
It's not even if I find out. It's if I can notice it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you tell me,
yeah.
And I'm like, well, I couldn't tell.
Right.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
See, because my thing is this. If it's noticeable, you probably didn't have the body part at all.
I think that's true.
Right? So you literally fabricated it out of oil.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's not noticeable, you probably had everything there already, and you've just enhanced it a little bit, which to me is fine.
I think either which way, if it makes the physique better,
as long as it's not noticeable.
If it's better, his physique is better.
What if it's noticeable? Hardy's physique.
No, you won't know it because the two go hand in hand. If it's better, you don't notice it.
Okay,
agreed.
That's what I'm saying.
Agreed.
If you use, there's probably plenty of guys that use it, but we don't even. Like, oh shit, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know. Issue.
Brent, this is what happened on the podcast. Me and Ben get an argument, and it lasts like 15 minutes.
And then we agree at the end.
So we do the rumble in the burrow again. We can pull it off.
Okay, so I want to get into some topics that came up that I've heard about that I want to know if you can fill me in on any details.
Mm-hmm.
So you were part owner of 015 Supplements, correct? Is 015 dissolved now? Is it no longer yours? Are you still looking into making your own supplement company? Are you with another supplement company? What is the kind of news on all those fronts?
Well, 015 is officially dissolved.
Okay.
I had a decision. I didn't think I would be able to take on the full responsibility of the company myself.
Mm-hmm.
Lost distribution in the process.
Yeah.
So I decided it's best for you to move on.
So can I interject for a second? Is it a matter of you and your partner or partners kind of didn't mesh well together, or like why the separation? Why were you gonna have to go on your own? If you want to answer that.
I don't know all the reasons. It's not always all been discussed, it's not all clear.
Sure.
But I guess what moving enough?
Yeah.
At a certain point in time, or maybe they put us in too much inventory.
Yeah.
Or it could be something totally different. It's just what I was told.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as the situation is concerned, it popped up at the right time. Moving on. Got some good things ahead. I'm cool.
So where do you go from here now? So 015, this is all... Is there another supplement company you're going to, or is there plans to start a new supplement company of your own, or how does that work?
Right now, it's the better option is for me would be the media money.
So to sign with the company?
Yeah, the media money right now.
Do you want to sign with Boston? Okay. I can't afford you.
I'm already pretty much, pretty much negotiated.
You have a deal working out?
Yeah, everything already. So it's just a matter of just waiting on, just sign a contract and paperwork and whatnot. So it's already moved on. It's just a matter of, you know, right? 015 was really just a long term thing. And it's a long term thing. It wasn't necessarily making me immediate money.
Sure. Yeah, it's a long term play.
It's a long term play.
Yeah.
So it's something that, you know, but I knew I couldn't juggle it all along, considering I'm still active.
Yeah, there's no way. Even if you weren't active. I mean,
that's just tough.
Yeah, I have two partners, and I'm like, there's no fucking way. Even retired, I can't do it on my own.
Right. So, it was nice. It was a good experience.
Sure.
I learned a lot, but I can say this: I had probably more help in the beginning.
Yeah.
And towards the end.
Okay.
And you know, that's kind of where I feel like, it's kind of more on my own. And I didn't really want that situation.
Sure.
You know, to be so much of my own, so much of responsibility, because, you know,
everyone's going to be,
right.
When it comes to running stuff, I don't think people really understand how hard, I mean, Brent, you've dealt with, had these conversations with numerous supplement company owners, I'm sure. I don't think people really understand how much goes into it and how hard it is. And if every partner on the team is not pulling their weight, there's no way.
We were pre-COVID on what we during COVID on the idea, I guess. But what we kept on was the, you know, kind of like my international presence, international relationships.
Yeah.
But what I noticed, just traveling a little bit here and there, is the traditional ship overseas market distribution kind of was really hit by the crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Well, I think, like, you can just start, like, expand on that. I think, like, you launched your company in March of...
It was a week before everybody shut down.
Yeah. I think it's tremendous. There was another company I know that launched at the same time. Like, the fact you're here today, like, hats off to you, because, like, it's the worst time to add a supplement company. Supply chains are difficult. So, like, you had the cards stacked against you anyway.
There's probably people listening that don't know. They probably hear that terminology all the time and they don't know what it means. Can you give me an example of supply chain issues and what it would do to a supplement ingredient or product?
Yeah, like never before. I mean, you always have like an ingredient or two that issues, right? You kind of work around them. You can figure it out. COVID caused so many things, and it wasn't just one lever, right?
Sure.
All the ingredients, obviously, they had production issues because labor shortages. People weren't going to work, right? Some of them are in the Far East and China. Some are here. So their lead times, capacities went down. So that's one thing.
So just the lead times for
just getting
creatine, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right? That was the one that was like the big time.
Yeah.
So that happens. At the same time, then, well, you have labor shortages, right? So raw material coming from China to the U.S. used to take us 5-6 weeks.
Yeah.
We'd order it, it'd be here in 6 weeks.
Sure.
Went to 16 to 20 weeks.
Wow.
So how do you plan for that, right?
Yeah.
Then, okay, so they got the ingredients. Then you got the logistics. The logistics not only took longer, it went 6x in price, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
Like, unheard of.
When you say logistics, you're talking about freight to bring the creatine from China to the U.S.
A 40-foot container, previous COVID,
$2,800
to get to L.A., right?
Sure.
20 grand
Yeah.
by the end of it, which is like, you never would think, maybe doubling is one thing, but like 5-6x, right?
Sure.
So you got that. Then you come to the plant level. We experienced this, right? Trying to manage people with COVID.
They all had their stay-at-home checks.
So stay-at-home checks. You also have tons of people every week that you're in and out of isolation. It's from the beginning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then our lead times, our capacity is down to 60%, not to 100%. So you combine all of that. So if, like, you know, you're going to launch something and you have a hit in the beginning, you don't know because, like, it's a new brand. You go to reorder, it's your manufacturer tells you it's 20 weeks. You've lost complete, you know, traction, right? So you guys face that. You face that.
So there's two things.
We actually major products was pre-workout.
Sure.
So we found out we had a clumping issue because the warehouse that we were stored everything wasn't necessarily air-conditioned.
Hey, sure. You know how you answer that, though, right?
What's that?
You know how you answer. No clump, no pump.
No, I mean, that's true. We
but
our no pumps, too. Well, it was exercise.
So basically, the product took a hit. It had to take a long time before we sorted that problem out. And because of all the issues, one of our main products was really, really slow.
Yeah.
So, you know, I noticed that was an issue for sales. But as far as the company, we were in the green, I think, in 11 months.
Sure.
But I guess sometime after that, I don't know. I guess we wasn't moving as much as we should have been. But.
Well, I mean, like Brent said, so what happens is you forecast for a certain amount of products, and then you burn through them, sell them all out. But now the lead time has gone from 3 months to 8 months.
Yeah.
And you're out of product for 4 or 5 months, and people go somewhere else to buy
the
product.
Amazon, find what's
there. And then even if you did forecast for it, now you're also buying as a new company. You're not buying 3 months worth of inventory. You're buying 8 months worth of inventory. So you're spending a ton more money cash flow wise all of a sudden to get the same amount of products, or not the same amount of products, but to keep your inventory.
Well,
and
also on top of that, say it's 2 pound protein because it's easy to like quit.
Yeah.
All like for life versus for
workout. Yeah.
Our cost to a brand may be back in the day, 12, 13, 14 bucks, somewhere in there, right? It's 23, 24 now.
Yeah.
Like, you just doubled the price of it. So all those other issues, then you're trying to train the consumer, they're gonna have to pay. Consider it's just, I mean, it's an extremely tough environment.
What I found out just traveling and talking to people that wanted to distribute the brand, especially overseas internationally, what they kept telling me was they wanted permission to actually manufacture. That's in India. That's how they wanted permission to manufacture domestically.
Yeah.
And then Mexico also, they wanted permission to manufacture Yes.
Sure.
And these are people that already own like pharmaceutical companies and whatnot.
Sure.
But, you know, they want the rights to do that. And that seems where the market is going on the international scene.
It's like, you have to, because, like, the taxes and duties are getting higher. And the same thing, reverse logistics, meaning you're distributing it now takes too long. So they want the product made there because they don't want to wait for you to ship it for 20 weeks either, right?
Or before I don't know if I could, do that.
What's that?
Well, I mean, we invested a lot of time and effort finding a manufacturer that we trust. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I could just be like, yeah, sure, you can manufacture my stuff.
It's super hard.
Anywhere else. Yeah. And go ahead, do it. Like, that would, I think I'd be a little panicked about it.
Yeah. So
I mean, I have to do a lot of homework. I mean, if that's the way the industry's going, that's fine. But that seems a little scary.
I think we're getting
right. Yeah.
We're getting to a better point. Is like logistics are getting a little better now.
Yeah.
So I think why it forced and why they want to is like there's just a little time thing and a cost. A container went from $3,000 to $20,000, right?
Yeah.
Containers are considerably back down.
Sure.
Lead times are cutting. So I think if you fast forward in a year and you're ready to go international, maybe it won't be what it was in 2015,
yeah,
but you'll be able to get it going.
Yeah.
And we got a small little plant in the UK for you.
We're going to need the big plant soon. Anyways.
It's a top, I mean, it's just a top environment, right? And then, like, you know, talking to Brandon, it's like, I mean, right things happen, you know, in right time, right place. It seems like
It's not a bad situation. It's, you know, something that, you know, you don't want to happen, but sometimes, you know, things will not prepare you.
How bummed out were you to have to dissolve? Like, it's kind of your baby, right?
Yeah, I mean, I took some time to think about it and not really feel it.
Yeah.
And I think that helped.
How? What do you mean you didn't feel it? Like, if somebody took Hostile away from me tomorrow, I would be like...
Yeah, because the initial thing is you think about your feelings, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't let myself focus on any of that. I
totally just was patient with the process. I was like, okay, I want to think this through.
I don't want to be frustrated about it. I don't want to express any emotions, but I want to think it through. And then, of course, my wife's being productive. She's hurt me. She's going... So I'm just like, okay, I just need time to just kind of make sure this what this is not, you know, it's like, oh, you know. So I was patient, and then next thing I know, I'm getting good news, better news, better news. And I'm just like, okay, I didn't waste my time.
Yeah.
And I hold that. It's pointless.
You know, all this stuff like this. You're so calm about everything.
Dude, it actually makes me mad.
Doesn't it make you angry? I'm waiting for something to disturb him. It's like, it's not possible.
I have not seen it.
How the fuck does that work?
I've been there.
Can you teach me that?
I've been there. So,
please teach
you've been where? I've never seen you upset once in my life.
Yeah, but I've been there. Like, okay, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Was it 2017? Was it 2017, 2018? When I got eighth in the Olympia when I thought I was going to be fifth.
17.
That really pissed me off. I was walking away from the place, bitten. And I'm thinking, my wife's trying to calm me down. No, that's okay. I said, I got to get this out.
Yeah.
So I'm pissed. You know? I'm really pissed. And then, at the end of the day, when I wasted all the time being pissed, me and Moody around everybody, I was such an asshole. I wasted my time doing it. I mean, that's just like, what's my point?
Oh, yeah.
No point. It didn't change a thing.
Yeah.
I was being a baby.
My phone would ring a lot. But it feels good.
No, it didn't.
It didn't feel good.
It didn't feel good. It's pretty pissed.
I think emotions feel good.
It's self-soothing. You know?
It is self-soothing.
Yeah.
It's self-soothing. That's right. It feels good.
That's what I think that's one of your biggest That's honestly one of your biggest strengths, dude.
It is a huge strength.
And I'm sure the next little bit like this, too, is like you can get locked in and you don't let emotions and you just focus and like you kind of feel
good. No, the time out. When I was competing, nothing could. Like, if it was prep time, nothing. It doesn't matter. Like, if I was angry or sad or I'm eating my meal, I'm going to the gym, nothing is going to get in my way. That's not, I don't mean that as much. I just mean, like, to not let it affect you, period.
Yeah. Like, so many times, like, I wasted my time, like being negative. You know?
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be a better situation than I thought.
But don't you think, like, every person is emotional?
Sure.
You can't, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
When you train yourself to be better. I'm an emotional leader, and I've learned in the last, like, you know, 6 years is like, that's my strength, but it's also my weakness.
What does that mean?
Like, I'll react really fast.
Sure.
I want to sort things out today.
I've noticed
like,
that.
In a minute, right?
Yeah.
So that sometimes is a really good thing. It's a good quality.
Sure.
But also, you don't get enough data, right? So I have people, like, you manage, you have 500 employees. Someone comes to you, and I react. Well, I haven't gotten the other side of the story.
That's right.
I send a crazy-ass email. I'm like, oh shit, right? So now I can say I'm not perfect. I'm still emotional, but I actually take the ability to train myself to step back,
yeah.
gather more data, and even if I'm gonna send an email, I sit on emotional emails
yeah.
for at least.
How many times have you written an email and not sent it?
Lately, a lot.
Yeah.
My early days, I think it would be sent, and then I'd be backpedaling because I'm like, oh my god.
But for me, it's you think it's cool, but it frustrates everyone around me.
Yeah, yeah. It frustrates me.
I'm not even around you.
Because they think I don't care.
I just want to see Brandon angry once.
They don't think I care. And it's like, it's not that I don't care.
You just heard him. He said he was, I first time I ever heard about the 17 saying he was pissed off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the most emotional I've ever seen. That was baby steps.
So wait a second. If it's not that you don't care, what is it?
It's that I'm
just able to see the positive.
No. It's just that I like to be patient. Like, you know,
I can't
anxiety. When they have anxiety, you know, anxiety wants to kick in and take over, right?
That's right.
And it, you know, I'm not clear when I'm anxious. But so
you've learned to manage it like you learned, because I'll get a phone call.
Yeah.
So rather than you, something pisses you off.
Yeah.
Beforehand, you would have just reacted.
You're right.
You react to me.
Yeah.
And I buffer that.
Yeah.
And then by the time you vented, you then can do the thinking.
I'm even getting better at calling you. Like, I think hostile, just owning the company,
makes you
has made me more patient. Because
well,
you
forces
can't,
you.
Well, because you can't. You'll fuck
yeah.
your whole company up.
Yeah.
Like, you can literally, with one bad email, you can destroy your
yeah.
company.
Yeah.
So that is, and also, just like you said, the patience of waiting for product.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it would stop my. Where's our product? Where's it?
Well, I think flew out 5 years ago, prior to showing my doorstep, punching in the face.
When as a kid, about a bitch. As a kid, I was like that. I was very reactive. Like
yeah.
I was very like. I didn't like. I punched best friends. And, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
just
yeah.
stuff I really regret doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was very like reactive.
Sure.
But as I got older, I realized it was less trouble.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
You know.
I think John was the first catalyst for that for me. John was the first one to teach me to just wait, and then owning hostile just taught me
yeah.
patience in general, just like in business and emotion and every way. Like,
well, especially when you can't control things, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can use
this kids help that
too.
Kids
pissed.
What's that?
Kids help
yeah.
that too.
That's true.
Because they'll piss you off.
Yeah.
Be like, okay.
I can imagine. But no, but it's like, I think Brett just hit it on the head. My whole life I've been a control freak, and when you're a bodybuilder, you control your own destiny.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
you're your own boss. You do whatever the fuck you
yeah.
want when you want to. And I think hostile has been like, oh, I'm not in control of any of this shit. This is the market. This is
that's
this. It's that.
You lead.
Yeah,
you can't control.
That's right.
So example being is like supply chain. You can't control that. You can't control if that goes off like wild, right? And
yeah,
it flex hostile. Those are not in your control.
Yeah.
Right. You just you hope for the best.
That's
sure.
that's the key. Know what you can control and what nobody can. Because that's how I love to look at the situation. Otherwise, you know, I've been a breadwinner person.
Yeah.
And I don't
yeah.
want to be that person.
Yeah. So what I gather from today fully then is you're not retired.
No, of course not.
Wait, we need to get you on a scale. Are you 205 pounds?
No, of course. I haven't seen 205 pounds in.
Who said you should? Well, forget it. No,
yeah.
I don't want to answer.
Someone told said you should.
Hey, but he was right. I did see a clip. He was right. I'm able to, you know, like they said, boy, you come here looking like a regular person in 3 weeks, you're like a freaking different person. So I am able to
transform
very fast.
Yeah, but that goes for anybody.
Look,
I've been natural now for fucking 5 months. Like, I've taken, like, I don't know, five shots in the last 5 months. I'm sure if I started... Seriously, it's bad.
What would that be called? It becomes like
it's like shitty
low TRT.
Low TRT. Yeah. No, but honestly, if I started eating again 6 times a day and started get back on gear, my body would come back really quickly.
Right.
So it's not a transformation the way people think of it.
Right.
It's not like somebody going from no muscle to all this muscle. It's somebody who had muscle, took a break, and then they're just rebuilding the life of their stores. Like, you're not losing tissue.
Right.
Right?
Well, so, there's extremes. You're a hyper responder.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, they make jokes about it. The employees are the best because.
Who makes jokes about it? The employees at O2?
Well, yeah, the employees and my coaches. I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Joke about it. But the employees are the best because they're expats, right? So they're cleaning, they're doing their stuff. And they're looking at me, I come, and they look at me like they're worried. Okay.
You've lost me.
And then, like, a couple weeks later, they're like. They've seen it so many times, they like scratch your head.
Yeah.
And so it's funny seeing those guys because they don't communicate, they just watch.
That doesn't surprise me with somebody who's already built the
foundation.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, that's the best
memory. Yeah. All right, Nick, anything you want to say before we go? We're going to head off. You look tired and hungry.
I'm hungry. It's been about a couple hours.
Are we training legs tomorrow?
I don't know, man.
I don't like to train legs when I travel.
Yeah, I know.
What's the track? What did back those girls do?
I want to do the legs. With, I want to say I train legs with a Mr. Olympia.
Yeah,
I train legs with a week, so be
good. Mine are still sore from my last leg day.
Sure. When was that?
I can do legs.
Was that with him?
Thursday.
Oh.
No.
Your knees good?
Yeah. Okay. I feel pretty good.
I haven't trained legs since we did Smash Bros.
Really?
I'm going to train when I see you guys.
Yeah, that's true. He's a cyclist now.
Yeah, but this guy, he's born with legs. You guys best squat.
Right? Luke used to say that. I said, is Luke once? I'm like, is Ben strong? He says, not strong. He says, good form.
That ankle mobility.
The ankle mobility makes me so jealous.
It does.
It's crazy. You know, seeing in person is almost scary. Like, when you see him on doing the squat with seven plates or 6 plates. I think when I saw you, six. It was six or seven.
I'm with you, six.
Yeah, six. And he's like, his ankle's like, it's fucking...
Doesn't the leg press too? Like
the leg press actually scares me more. So he does the Cybex one that you guys have at the Carbon Performance. But he puts his heels off the pads, and it's just the toes. So it's almost like a sissy squat.
Yeah.
And he's got like 10 plates of side on it. I'm like,
I started doing that, but my ankle mobility is not that good. So my
head it hits way better.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. But if your heels, are coming up, that's.
I know, but you're kissing more.
Alright, so we do your legs tomorrow.
Are you going to train legs with us?
If everyone, oh, you don't want
to. No, he's going to do back.
Yeah. I'll train with Nick trains.
Okay, you're going to do back with Nick.
Do abs and cardio.
Oh, you're a bit physique.
I'm going to physique.
I might throw in some abs. Low calves.
You go hard on legs.
Yeah, he does go hard, but he may not.
But he's a weak out.
No. I'm saying, normally, I'll do legs.
My last leg.
Remember.
If you get inflammation, they're covered up. We're good.
All right.
There won't be anybody else on the national stage.
We're going to train next year.
Week out.
Yeah.
What's wrong with your one?
Okay. How's it looked over there?
Good.
Great.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll go earlier so like you're not busy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can walk back and forth. You want to use the Rogers, you can come in here and use
it. I'm going to lunge back.
Yeah.
Lunge.
I was just curious. You have that hip thrust. That's pretty good.
Oh, the one we just trained?
Okay, yeah.
So why don't we try and get into two? That way there's nobody here. 2:30. You think we can get everything done by
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We'll do that. All right.
Because that gets more people.
You what?
Because more people.
Why? Why?
That means
I'm leaving tomorrow. You guys. I got to. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. It's been a pleasure, Brent. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Honestly, good talking to you, Brandon. Always
hey,
good
just
talking
about. One quick thing. Just to
I'm going to do the mustache.
So tomorrow, we'll think about it, and we'll finalize it.
Okay.
All right. And
what are you guys in writing?
We can't do anything to Ben. You guys got a neck tattoo for 5 days.
I got to really think about this. I'm going to have something tomorrow, though. We're going to find something.
What are we going to do with colonic? I'll do a colonic. That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you. You have to do it.
Not me. I'm a horse.
Dude, I have like, I mean, you've got the perfect face for a nice little creepy handlebar.
Professor Kim.
I don't wait.
You're going to look great with no fucking hair at all.
I don't look ugly, dude. It's going to be bad.
You have the appropriate peanut.
Yeah,
it's all back.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Catch us on the next RVP. And we're signing off.
Bye.
Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, share with your friends, and like the video. And if you get a chance, check out the description for all the different links to all the different places you can find Hostile and myself. And lastly, check out hostile.com for our new line of supplements and all of our apparel and gear. Thanks again for watching.